Welcome back to Dating Games, the Modern Relationships Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Temps. Our guest this week founded a dating app that prioritizes less superficial matching, a focus on quality over quantity, and making real connections with less ghosting. Common elements like swiping and having unlimited conversations open are also done away with as they roll out the app city by city. Here to discuss the trials and tribulations of digital dating, it's Sanjay Panchal.
Hello, thanks for having me.
No, you're very welcome. I love to hear about new apps and I have downloaded many thinking this one will solve everything. Dating will make sense with this one.
I didn't realize how many there were until I started doing this because I thought, you know about the big ones, but then there's literally a dating app for every single kind of person, type of situation that you can possibly think of. So it was definitely forced us to really think hard about how can we create something that is different but also effective, and hopefully we've got the right mix.
Yeah, and also, you know, very broad as well, because I think what people are looking for in relationships is opening up as well. And so There's certainly a lot of, like you say, variation with the apps on what people's preferences and what kind of types of relationships they're looking for. And I wonder if we'll get to a point where there's more pressure on the apps, like the mainstream ones, to cater to that as well. Like, so if you're, let's say, like myself, open to dating individuals, but also couples, at the moment, that's two separate apps. So that may be the next thing of like trying to catch all these different demographics.
Oh, completely. And even just, so I think really the majority of the, like the big apps, they're more designed really for casual dating, but people go onto them to find relationships as well. And one of the reasons we created this app was because there needs to be ones that are more specifically focused on relationships. And if you're looking for a relationship, then that really does have a completely different approach to much more of a kind of casual dating, swiping, superficial kind of approach. There's nothing wrong with those, but if you're looking for a relationship, it's not as easy to find it on those because it's kind of a different criteria and a different approach.
Yeah, it's odd that, and I spoke to Robin Exton about this, the founder of an app called Her, I think we touched on something a bit similar of like, how do you communicate the seriousness of the relationship you're looking for? And we talked about, I can't actually remember if this was on air or off air, but the idea of maybe having like some kind of range that you could select, almost like a numbers of 1 to 10 of seriousness of relationship. And then we kind of had it dawn on us at the same moment. Aren't people just going to select all of the options all of the times?
Well, it's so funny you say that, because actually we had a really interesting experience when we first launched with exactly that. I basically had this thought where I want to create a relationship app. And one of the big problems that you have with these other apps is that you don't know what people are looking for. So I think, well, let's just make it really clear. And so on LA, it does show what you're looking for. And originally, we literally only had two buckets. It was just something casual, something serious. And you can always switch it. But then at least when you're talking to someone, you know what mindset they're in and what they're looking for. And that was the kind of thought process. It's now getting a little bit more complicated. We do have a not sure, and I'm looking to kind of delve into the way that you decide what sort of relationship you're looking for a little bit deeper. But one of the interesting things that we found is that I think both men and women generally will have sometimes where they'll look for, you know what, I'm open to both. But when they're only given two buckets, the one that they choose is very different for male and female, especially on the straight side. So if you're open to both, what we found, not just from talking, but actually in the data, is that men will choose casual, but are open to serious, whereas women would much rather say, well, I'm open to casual, but I'm going to choose serious first. And so it just ended up pushing people on either ends. And then when we opened up it to like a third option, it just made it a little bit easier for everyone, because then they knew that they had a, you know, I'm open to both. And that allows me to say that.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I think it's also just such a strange thing to even answer a question like that. You know, you're signing up for a new app and you don't really know what to even expect from it.
And we've had a lot of conversations with users, and we're still working through it. I mean, because we do want to be primarily a relationship app. So we want to be a destination for people who are at least semi-serious about what they're looking for, you know, because there's more than enough hookup apps. There's more than enough kind of casual dating opportunities. That's not to say that we don't want to develop some things that can make those areas better. But right now there are more options for those than for people who are wanting a dating and relationship app. So that's something we've looked at quite a lot. And it's not a hard and fast rule to say that, you know, men do this and women do that. But it is interesting to see and speak to a lot of male users who would much rather feel more comfortable going into something as casual and let it turn into something serious. Whereas the women that we've spoken to a lot of the times will say, well, I want to go in looking for them with the mindset of finding something serious. But if it doesn't end up being serious, I'm happy for it to turn into casual. Like some conversations that I've had in the past and some sort of conversations with users suddenly make more sense, because that's why there's a bit more of a problem sometimes. Because if we have a different mindset going into it, even though we are ultimately both looking for the same thing, but the way that we get there might be different.
Yeah, that's it, because the logic in some ways seems quite similar in what you've described. Yeah. That even if the outcome and what option is selected isn't. And so yeah. To get a bit of background then on your dating history, you've got a story to share, right?
Yeah, so I haven't got any kind of wild stories, or if I have, my memory's too bad that I don't remember it, because I do have a terrible memory. So I started thinking about kind of what could I share. And there was one thing that kind of sprung to mind that it wasn't a bad date. It was actually a really good date, and ended up seeing this girl for a little while. And then we actually became friends when it didn't work out. But it was an interesting date because I didn't really think of it as being strange when I went into it. I just thought, okay, this person, she likes art and drawing, and so do I, and I quite like doing life drawing. And so I suggested on our first date, and we met on a dating app, so we'd never even met each other before, that we do a life drawing class. And it was only afterwards, when we'd gone for drinks, that she kind of pointed out that it was really weird to take her to go look at another naked man and draw someone and stare intently at their naked body for a couple of hours before we'd even had much to say about each other. And I thought it was really, ended up being like something very funny, but it could have gone horribly wrong as well. I was very aware of that. And it's just one of these things that made me think about the fact that we can go and have this idea, or we can act a certain way on dating apps or in life in general. And we just have a completely different perspective to other people sometimes, and you won't notice it until someone points it out. So that was the first thing that sprung into mind when I thought about an odd dating story.
I can see how sort of twee in a way that your thought process was of like, oh, we have this shared interest, we'll go do this thing. Yeah. It could be fun. It could be an interesting story. But I think if I received that message, I might be like, is this sleazy? Are they yeah, making exactly. a joke? Are they being serious? Like, I don't think I quite know how to take that.
Yeah. If I remember rightly, I think she had mentioned, I mean, I think I'd basically, we'd probably got onto the topic of like drawing. And I mentioned that I like doing life drawing because I don't get to sit down and draw very often. And if you go to something like that, you have to finish a drawing because the person can only stand or sit for a certain amount of time. So and I think that's where it kind of came out from, but it definitely could have got a completely different way. I've had conversations on, there's one particular time I remember on a dating app, I was talking to someone and we did get onto the subject of like drawing. And I think she had messaged me later on and she was a bit drunk and she basically kind of went straight full in, say, I want you to draw me naked. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. We're just going straight into that. And I think she was hoping that it would be a kind of a Titanic situation, but I don't imagine it would have been, because any life drawing that I've done is very much not like that. You have to stay really still. And I'm certainly not as good as whoever did the drawing in the Titanic.
Also, what a fun reference to be like, does she want the same ending? She wants to like see you float under the water.
Yeah, it's
be like, I want just this picture that you drew as the only memory, and you can float back into the ether.
Yeah, and then I'm not going to leave you enough room on the piece of furniture, and just you can fall into the water.
There was definitely room. Oh my god,
there was definitely room.
And I'm trying to think what the only thing similar to that I've received is, I got a message one time where I can't remember which app it was, but in one of the pictures, it was a modelling shot I had. And, you know, I thought it was quite sort of like interesting because I had like wacky like face paint on, and so it sort of might be intriguing alongside otherwise quite generic photos.
Yeah.
And she sent me a message saying, would the face paint come as part of the package, or would that be an extra? And I was like, huh? I'm like, I'm not entirely sure if she's tried to flirt with me or hire me, and so either way, she sent me some other messages and it was quite weird, so I sent her prices and I never heard back.
Oh dear.
Because yeah, I was like, you know what, if she's going to be weird with me, I'll be weird with her, and I'll just treat it like it's a serious business inquiry and be like, well, the makeup artist would cost about this much. And
yeah, I mean, the weird and wonderful messages that people sometimes post on like Instagram and stuff. So we've got an Instagram account and it's primarily memes because that's, you know, the easy thing to do, and we get a kick out of it. And through that, we don't post other people's messages because I think that's something that we don't want to do on ours, but there's a lot of accounts that do. And it just amazes me how many crazy things people see on their like profiles and messages. I still have a couple of friends who will regularly send me some of the messages that they've received, and it does make you think like, what is going in some people's head when they send certain messages? It's just strange.
Yeah, for sure. And I wonder sometimes how much of that is that with the whole, particularly the swiping apps, it almost feels so gamified where the people don't even really feel that real. Like, you don't know them. They're still strangers. You're there swiping back and forth, judging on mostly so superficial metrics. And so, yeah, is that part of it in the same way, like on, you know, on Twitter, people with no profile picture troll and they have, you know, that feeling of like an audacity that can come from anonymity. And so is it like that? It's like, oh, these people don't feel real yet. So, and I'm so bored. Let's have some weird conversations, maybe.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things that we talk about is the fact that with most dating apps, because they go with the volume approach, it basically commoditizes people and it devalues the individual, because when you're looking at a profile, you don't think of them as a person, and it's so easy to swipe or dismiss. And there's a certain level of anonymity, like there's not good enough vetting done on dating apps so that anybody could like set up an account. And then if you are rude to someone, there's really not often any serious kind of consequences. Like, lots of people will say something rude and then you're like, well, okay, I'll just unmatch them. Or sometimes they won't just even unmatch them. They'll just kind of like let it drift into the background. They just won't reply, which is why it was really important for us with Elate to have not just the three chats at a time. I mean, that specifically is designed to try and kind of keep you focused on, you know, three people, and so that you can kind of build a connection and really get to know someone. But also, because you can only do three chats at a time, in order to speak to someone new, you have to end a chat. And if you do that, we let the other person know, which is why we're known as the anti-ghosting app. But you also have to give feedback. And we found that really important, not just in terms of like in the future, we want to be able to give people more feedback on how they're doing, not individual feedback from like someone that specifically has said that this, that and the other, but to maybe aggregate it and say, okay, if you're trying to think about why things aren't working or what you could do better, here's some like percentages or some stats and stuff. But also it means that we can really like target the worst offenders really quickly, because you have on other apps where they're like, they could be offensive or rude, and then they'll unmatch the person before the other person has a chance to report them. You can't do that on Elate. You know, even if you unmatch them, both sides have to give feedback at the end, so we can kind of learn about what they're like on the app, and then we can kind of basically get rid of the worst offenders.
Wow, that's really clever. And I definitely am someone that's been guilty of kind of hoarding matches. And so the idea of like being limited to three chats seems quite like a commitment, but I think in a really good way. Do you know what I mean? I'm doing that in a way that's quite situational. And I think throughout the lockdowns, a lot of people have done the same, where they've like collected matches and they're like, oh, when we get back to dating. And I don't know how much that actually happens. Do you know how much people actually do think like, oh, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to go through these matches now?
So I completely understand that behavior. And so again, we've thought about that with Elate. So you can only talk to three people at a time, but you can match with as many people as you want, but they sit in this match queue. So the chat doesn't start until you both have space. So you can build them up. And then if they've got three matches that they're already talking to, then you'll sit in their queue or they'll sit in yours. And then when you both have space, it'll activate the kind of conversation. So if you don't want anything to activate, you just don't clear the three matches that you've got at the moment. Even if the chat has ended, you can just kind of keep them full, but you can continue to look at profiles, match with people, but you both won't get notified that you can talk to each other until you both have space. We're very conscious that just because you're chatting to someone doesn't mean that you're also not still looking, because you're not going to put all your eggs in three baskets in this case. So you can still chat, but also match with people. But the idea was that it then doesn't constantly distract you from the existing conversations, because as soon as you've got another match and you're chatting to someone new, there is the kind of, well, okay, if that person hasn't replied in a timely manner, or it's just kind of, well, I don't know, I've left it too late now, well, maybe I'll just chat to the new match, then you kind of lose connections with people or miss out on people, where if you had only the three conversations, then maybe that might not have happened. You would have had a little bit more time. I mean, if you think about it, like, I'm okay at replying to people, but sometimes I take forever, and that's just with my own friends and stuff. And so the idea that I have to juggle however many conversations on the dating app and respond kind of relatively timely, if it's like been a couple of days since I've responded to someone, I might just go, oh, screw it, there's no point now, because if I wasn't sure about them, there's no point in me restarting the conversation now only to then go, oh, actually, you know what, I don't think I like you. So that's why we do it that way.
I like that. And I think it encourages a level of seriousness, you know, even just the fact that you have to pick a limited number of people to talk to. And I also like the getting a notification then if the chat is ended, because certainly I've had those experiences. I think Tinder's probably the worst offender for this, where you sort of message a few people and you don't hear back, or you match with somebody and then you never talk to them, and then you find them like backing your pile and you match with them again. And these kind of things where you're like, are all of these people real? You know, are they robots? Are they like, you know, people that have deleted the app a year ago and I've no way of knowing? So does it also do that if they delete the app? Will it give you a notification?
Yeah, so they'll say deleted user. So we'll just, if you've got an existing conversation with someone and if they don't end the chat will still be ended for you and it will say deleted user. So you can know that they've basically just deleted their account. So either way, you're not just left hanging and waiting. And that was ultimately the kind of idea behind that, because, you know, ghosting is still, it's still not nice. Ghosting is terrible, but ultimately it's still rejection. It's still that they didn't want to continue the conversation. So we let you know if someone's ended the chat, but we also let you know if they've deleted their account, because ultimately we just don't want people wondering and waiting to see if someone's going to message if they never are. We want them to be able to go, okay, well, fair enough. Even if it's still a bit crappy because it's rejection, it's not just kind of waiting around, hoping and then eventually realizing they've been rejected further down the line. Just draw a line under it and move on. And part of that experience then hopefully means that you're also thinking a little bit more methodically about whether to match with someone in the first place, because you can't just match, never say anything, and then, you know, not have any consequences. Because obviously if we see someone who's continually matching with people, continually ghosting, then they're not going to see as many recommendations, or we're not going to show them to as many other users. And so we want to encourage people to match only with who they really want to match with, and then chat with those people.
Yeah, no, that's clever. And I definitely would be very chill with a notification to someone that has deleted their app. Like, you know, even if we've talked a fair bit, it doesn't really feel that real to me until I meet somebody in person anyway.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, well, I'll just think in my head like, oh, well, hopefully they met someone really cool, as opposed to like, I wonder whatever happened to that person. We talked loads and now I've never heard of them. Are they dead? Like,
yeah,
it feels a better option.
That's how it should be, right? Because they're not real until you meet them. And even then, it's still, all of these apps, they're basically just introduction services. You know, you're introduced to someone, but you're not in a relationship with someone until you actually meet them and see them a few times, because ultimately you don't know who they really are until you spend some quality time with them in person, unless you're doing a lot of like video dates and things like that.
Yeah. So in terms of this focus on ghosting then, was that something you'd had a lot of experience of personally?
Do you know what? It was when I came, so I got out of a pretty serious relationship a couple of years ago, and I'd met that person on a dating app. So I knew that it was possible to find kind of relationships on dating apps. And so when I got back onto them, I was expecting kind of a similar situation. You know, I'd meet people, we'd see how it goes. Because I think I'd met that person in maybe 2015 and we broke up, or maybe 2016. Yeah, we broke up by like 2019. It changed so much in that period of time. And I was like shocked at how flaky people had become. And so I think ghosting isn't even the kind of most common complaint. In fact, I know it isn't, because we did a survey of a whole bunch of dating app users. And actually the biggest complaint was people who just never say anything. They'll match and then just not say two words, which is a form of ghosting, because they've still indicated that they want to talk to you, but then they just do nothing with it. And so, yeah, I think I did get a little bit frustrated. And when I was chatting to friends and actually chatting to dates as well, we would talk about it. I think everybody has done this, where they've gone on a date with someone on a dating app and they'll talk about the dating apps and talk about how crap they can be or how frustrating they can be. And it was the same conversation again and again. Yeah, people are being flaky, people are like just, you know, ghosting, or they're just not very kind of reliable or treating them with respect. And it's because there are so many options and you can just swipe and talk to someone else. And it seemed like if we could get rid of that element of it, then, or just make it a little bit more thoughtful in terms of the whole process, then maybe it'll get back to, you know, something that was more akin to meeting someone in real life.
Yeah. And I think those frustrations are really broad, to the extent where I certainly see them a lot on the apps and people's descriptions. Like, these things can kind of leak out, and the cynic in me is like, oh, your past is showing. Because it will be like, you know, only match with me if you're going to talk to me, or, you know, I'm not into liars and things like that. And it comes across very hostile, but it's clearly a reflection of such frustrations people have.
Yeah, I always say to people, don't ever go negative on your profile. Because there's only a small amount of space on your profile, and anything that you put on your profile, whether it be your photos or your bios or whatever, is going to be amplified as part of your personality. So if you put a whole bunch of negative stuff, you're just amplifying the negativity in your personality, and they're thinking that that's, you know, one of the most important or biggest parts of your personality. In the same way that I would say, if you've got like six photos, don't put any of your photos as something that you've only done once. If you have got a good picture of you going on a climbing wall, but you've never done it at any other time, don't put it on your dating profile, because people are going to assume that you really like going climbing. So yeah, it just amplifies.
That is
such a good way of putting it, actually. Yeah, you get some points right there. I'd not really thought about it in that simple way of like, yes, whatever you've put on there, you are indicating this is one of the most important things about me, because I've got limited photo space. I've got, you know, this just one description place usually. And so what am I going to put there? And absolutely, you can see, like, you would say, okay, let's go on a climbing date. I know that people love to put pictures of them like skiing or snowboarding as well. And it's meant to be like a wealth indicator, which is interesting, because I did wonder for a long time, like, how are there this many people that ski? And probably a lot of them have skied once, or it's like at the snow dome as opposed to in France.
I have got a snowboarding picture, but I do really like going snowboarding, even though I probably only go like once a year, but it's one of the most fun things that I love doing.
I think that, I think that's fun. Once a year is acceptable. Once in your lifetime.
Yeah. There's probably been times when I've been on a dating app though, and it's been like 3 or 4 years since I've been. That was definitely questionable. I probably shouldn't have had it on at that time. But since then I've started going again, and I think I've earned the right to put it back on for now, at least.
Yes. And also, I guess, can you actually snowboard? Do you know what I mean? If you've forgotten how to do it and then somehow you end up in that situation, or like you take someone to a climbing wall in that example and then you can't actually stay on it, that would be... that would not be impressive.
It's funny. My ex used to like joking about the fact that my profile was a little bit of a catfish, because in my profile, there were all pictures of me basically at weddings in suits. and I never wear suits, and I don't, you know, I come from marketing and advertising background, and we don't wear like really smart clothing. And so she was like, I swiped on you because I thought you were like always going to be like well-dressed and smart, but it's really only on the fancy occasions. I was like, oh yeah, that's a fair point. That's not really a fair representation of what I'm like on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. Or are you not taking me to enough fancy locations?
Yeah. That was probably the underlying kind of reason she brought it up as well. Definitely. Yeah. Probably needed to up my game there.
No, that's funny. And yeah, I think that's true. I'm comfortable admitting this now, but I was a bit embarrassed when we started the podcast and I realized that something I included in my Tinder profile really read badly when I reflected on it. And it was a quote from a song by Santi Gold. I can't actually remember what the name of the song is now, but the line read something along the lines of, "We don't have time for wasting time, just do it." And I think when I'd put that on the profile, I'd obviously been listening to the song a lot and really connecting with its general message of like, go out there and like do life and find love and whatever. And it's quite empowering. But the specific bit I chose read in isolation comes across quite hostile of like, yeah, just message, just get on with relationships. And yeah, that is no longer on there. But I realized that as I was telling a previous guest about it, and I'm not sure if that made the edit.
I have a question, which I like asking people this. How would you rate your dating profiles out of 10? Not in terms of your level of attractiveness or anything like that, but just in terms of how complete it is, how much effort you think you've put into it. Like, is it as good as you could possibly be at number 10? Or, you know, where does yours sit on that scale?
I would say very much not. I think I have done more like, yeah, putting stuff in and then gradually like redacting things than I have like properly updating it. I'd say Hinge is the one that is better because I set it up more recently and because it has like the little prompts of questions to answer. And I find those quite embarrassing, even reading other people's, I find quite embarrassing on their behalf sometimes. So I've definitely rewritten my own before.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, Tinder is a mess. But then I think it's also like it's the reputation of the apps as well. You know, you sort of feel like, oh, well, this is the like the silly generic kind of hookup-y one that everyone's on. And that could be funny.
Yeah, I can imagine if someone's got an essay on Tinder, you're like, oh, like they've put so much effort into that. They probably don't realize like, I don't know. Yeah.
But this is how subjective it is, right? Because if you see a big paragraph, some people might really love that because they're like, okay, I've got so many things I can chat to them about. And I think there's definitely something to that. But then also sometimes you see them and they just seem a bit exhausting. Like the one that I find quite off-putting is, you know, when people put lists and it might be like, you know, interests, and then they put an emoji next to each one. And, you know, like TV with a TV emoji, like, you know, bowling, they found a bowling pin, you know, and I'm just sat there being like, God, there's more emojis than I thought there was.
Yeah, that's fair. I quite like asking that question, especially to people who are looking for a relationship as opposed to, you know, something a bit more casual, because I've never yet met anyone who said it's a 10 or even a 9. It's usually like, it's about a 7 or 8. I wouldn't even say that, you know, my dating profiles have been anywhere close to a 10, which is interesting to think, you know, it's one of the biggest decisions you'll make is finding a, you know, a partner. And yet none of us are putting in the amount of
effort.
Yeah,
you're meant to be the example to us.
I know. Don't get me wrong. Mine is definitely, I would say an 8. But the only reason that I wouldn't maybe give myself a little bit higher is just because I don't have as many recent photos. And I'm blaming the pandemic for that because, you know, we've not exactly... Well, I certainly wasn't looking my best over the, you know, looking quite shabby and stuff. But yeah, just not having the opportunity to take kind of decent pictures. But that's one of the things that we try and help people with as much as possible. I mean, the way that the app is structured is that we actually can get individual stats on every part of your profile, because we have a separate feed that is kind of like a content feed, and it just shows individual snippets of a person's profile, but like all jumbled up. So it's not single person's profile. And you just rate them on a scale of kind of like you know, on a three-point scale. And so that lets us, we do that so that we can understand what you like better. So, you know, it could be an individual photo, or it could be one of those like question prompts, but that also gives us the data on each one of those in the background. And so it's something that we'll roll out in a more kind of official capacity later on. But for now, it means that if users want feedback on their profile and they want to know, well, how are my photos doing, they can email us and we'll do more of a deep dive. And I've really enjoyed doing that with people, because one of the main reasons that I wanted to create a dating app is to give people more help, because I think there are so many basic, simple mistakes that a lot of people make that could be easily fixed, and it could be a massive help to their kind of their journey on finding someone. I mean, the photos that a lot of people choose, you know, they will invariably just pick whatever they've got on their phone. They won't go out and, you know, put a little bit more effort in to get the ones that they should get to put their best foot forward. And the same thing goes with the bios or the question prompts that they do. Because the app's designed to get you signed up as quickly as possible, you just kind of end up putting in whatever you can. You don't sit there and think about it, which you probably should. You should probably take a little bit more time. And so I really like being able to give that feedback to people to say, look, these are the bits that you can maybe improve on them, and these are the bits that are doing really well.
And so along that line, I've actually signed up for the app to sort of have a bit of a tap around and get an idea. So it's not yet live in Birmingham where I am.
Alas, no.
But coming soon. And so I'm interested in your perspective actually on some of the questions. So I guess for me, this is a little bit familiar with like what I'm used to with Hinge, where you can put in like indicators of like, you know, do you smoke? Do you want kids? Age, height, certain sort of stats like that that are a bit more than you'd see on Tinder, for example. And I think that's quite interesting. And I think that helps you kind of narrow somebody down if you're a bit sort of on the fence and then you're like, oh, well, maybe this thing makes up my mind. But on the other side of that, right, it's really useful as an observer to be like, oh, give me all this information. But as the person putting in this information, you can find yourself kind of overthinking it and wondering like where you might be like harshly judged. So, for example, if I look through these, I have instinctively not answered the one about drinking because I don't drink. And I think some people would see that and think, oh, I'm going to be judged for drinking, which is not the case. I'm not out here trying to convert anybody. I don't drink. That's me. Yeah. Almost all of my friends do. I'm perfectly used to that. And another one I did put in about pets. I put in that I've got a cat. But there was a part of me that's like, oh, are the dog people going to be like, oh, well, it's a shame it's not a dog? Or are going to be like, oh, I don't like cats. They all scratch you, which they don't all scratch you. Do you know what I mean? So I'm like, am I overthinking this?
I'm not sure on other apps. I would say on ours a little bit. So the reason that we do it on ours, and actually we're a little bit different to a lot of apps because we do ask more questions than most. Mm-hmm. I mean, we ask things about like drinking and pets and drugs and lots of other things. But unlike others, we don't really, I don't think we give the option to say, don't answer or don't give an answer. You either you either kind of leave it and you've gotten like a notification to say that you still need to answer it, or you can answer it, but you can always hide the answer that you've given. And the reason that we do that is because I think certainly exactly everything that you've said there, like you don't want to put something that's displayed on your profile because it will get amplified as being like, this is really important. And then people are going to see it and then maybe make judgments about you. But we think the way that we look at it is that actually, even if you don't want to put it on your profile and you can absolutely kind of make things like not visible, we want to know because we see ourselves as a matchmaker as opposed to just a dating app. So we're a digital matchmaker. We need to know about as much as possible as we can about you so that we can then try and pair you with the right people. And we don't right now offer any of these deal breakers or filters. So you're not going to kind of miss out on people, but it's just about helping us build the case for the people that we do show you. Because we are not endlessly swiping, it means we can put more into actually giving you a recommendation as opposed to just showing you a bunch of profiles and then you self-selecting by whatever is on their profile.
Interesting. So should I be putting that I don't drink?
I would say put it on there. I mean, at least
and
on
then
our
maybe make it invisible.
Because it should, at least it does on ours, it should have an impact on other apps as well, just to make it so that they pair you with someone who is more suited to you. It doesn't necessarily mean it will be like the most important thing on there, and it will like stop you from being seen by other people, or you know, stop other people being seen by you. But I think, yeah, ultimately, if it's something about you and you can add it to the profile, I'd say do it, because ultimately it should go into the algorithm to help you come up with a better pairing. At least that's how we see it. We see ourselves a little bit like, you know, yeah, like I said, a professional matchmaker. If you were to meet a professional matchmaker, you wouldn't be able to leave any of that out. They would ask you all sorts of questions to really kind of get to know you. And that's ultimately what we're trying to do as well. We're trying to get to know you as best as possible so that we can find you the right match, not the most matches.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is a reminder to me, if nothing else, that I need to go check my profiles again and make sure they're up to date. And so we'll start wrapping up then with our rules of the game. So have you had a chance to think of one?
I mean, there's a lot of rules that I think certainly I would love to implement. One of the first things is, and which I say quite regularly, is never leave your profile blank. I think that's a real bugbear of mine, where people, like you said, like, you know, you've only got a small amount of space on a dating app, but if you put nothing at all, that says just as much about you as if you put things that are maybe a bit negative or whatever. So if you don't put anything on your dating profile, I think that's a big no-no for me.
Yeah. And I've definitely seen a variation of that where people just put, I hate writing these, and that's all they write.
Oh,
and that tells me nothing. I would have guessed that if it was blank.
It just tells you that you have no imagination and you're probably not very witty, because if you can't come up with a single line to put on a dating profile when you're trying to attract other people, yeah, doesn't say much about your writing skills or your imagination or the ability to hold a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, very strange. And so I've thought of a rule of the game, and then I thought of a further one because we were talking about photos. And so I'll give that one first, which is when it comes to photos, I think it's so important to have them within context. And I read an article recently that confirmed that suspicion of mine. I was like, ah, there we go. I'm on something. So often you'll see people where they've decided they want a photo in swimwear, for example. And so they've just gone to their mirror and taken that photo, or it's like in their garden in front of a fence or whatever. And it looks so strange and out of place. You know, you're like, who took this photo? What was this situation that you've created? And actually, if you just had a photo of you like at the beach with your friends, it would have made so much more sense. You'll look like a fun person that you might want to go to the beach with, as opposed to just it blatantly being like, I want to show you more of my body and this is what's for sale. I think that goes not just with that, but like sports equipment. Like, why aren't you playing it? Why are you in front of a mirror? Like any of these things, you know?
Photos are such a difficult one for I think most people. One thing that I talk about a lot is the fact that generally men's photos are worse than women's by far. And I've seen a lot now, because we'll check, you know, every user to make sure they're real and check that there's nothing kind of untoward. And so especially when I at the start, where I was, you know, personally looking at every single new profile, women generally have better pictures. And I think that's partly because of, I don't know, society telling men or telling women to take more pictures or men to take less. You know, there's fewer opportunities for men to have pictures taken of them on their own. It's why you get tons of people complain about all the fish photos with guys, because that's one of the rare instances where it's a picture of just themselves, albeit with a fish.
Like catching a fish. I'd not thought of that as the reason. I always thought it was a weird thing to brag about.
But I definitely think a big part of that might be because they're looking through all their photos and they're like, there's none of them where it's just me. It's either just all group shots or X or something like that.
No, so I'll take that. Sounds like a better reasoning than I thought, because I was there as someone that does know how to fish being like, well, that's more of a reflection of where you were fishing, that size of fish. You know what I mean? That's as much down to chance as it is your skill. So
I guarantee there'll be a lot of people using a fish photo when they've only gone fishing that one time and they've used it mainly just because they haven't got any other pictures themselves. Yeah.
And the other one, and this I'm aware, this is a silly rule of the game because I'm aware it's an overreaction, but I don't like when somebody unmatches with me on a dating app when I know them. So like maybe we've gone on to become friends, or maybe we've gone on to date and they, you know, delete the match or and therefore the conversation goes, and I can't look back at those first messages. And I think it's a very distinctly me issue, because I'm a bit of a like technological hoarder. Like all the phones I've ever owned like live in a cupboard over there. And I think it's like, I don't know whether it's to do with me having memory issues or what, but it seems like some sort of like emotional betrayal to get rid of like the messages that started how we knew each other.
Yeah. So I definitely have memory problems. So I have certainly gone back, especially if they end up becoming friends, going back and like trying to remember, even if it's just as simple as like, when did we first meet, and going back and seeing when like that first match or that first message was. I can kind of agree with that. It's, I guess it's a bit harder if they've just deleted their profile, but if they've just simply unmatched you specifically to get rid of.
Can they just send me a text and then I'll like screen grab all of the messages? You know, that wouldn't be creepy at all. But no, it's on my mind because it happened recently where I was talking to a mutual friend, and the person we were talking about, I'm now friends with, and they were like, oh, what was the what was the first message you sent to each other? And then I'll never know. Now that's gone.
No. Oh, that's a shame.
What were you going to say?
So I was thinking about this a little while ago, because I really want to come up with some sort of way of remembering these first kind of interactions, especially if someone goes on to have a relationship and hopefully, you know, goes on to get married. And I want to kind of like find a way to like immortalize that. But it's a little bit hard these days, especially with GDPR. So, you know, if you do close your account, then we won't be holding onto your data. But if we can offer a way for, we can like say, well, we can save it if you want us to, just in case, you know, fingers crossed it goes well, and then you can always go back and look at it. But otherwise, giving them the ability to download all their data is obviously that's a way to do it too. But I'm not sure how many people go away thinking, yes, this is definitely going to work out and it's going to go, so I'm going to download the conversation now and hopefully I can like look back over the years.
Yeah, that's a weird one. And it's such uncharted territory, isn't it? Like, you know, grandchildren one day being like, how did you meet grandma? And it's like, I don't remember. it was an app. It no longer exists. I don't remember which it was.
Yeah.
But then equally, it would be weird if you had like a little framed picture, which was your first messages. So
I think that would be quite sweet, having, I mean, it depends on what the message is, but having a little framed message of what you said first.
Yeah, if you both say hey first, you'd be like, oh, that's vintage. That's how we talked back then.
Yeah, exactly. I do like the little arguments about like who messaged who first. That's always funny, especially if the couple has been together for a while and they're like, there's always one who's adamant. It's like, no, there's certainly been some interesting, like, no. And that's one reason.
That would be a very strange hill for him to die on. No, I messaged you first on Bumble.
I messaged you. You were into me more than you.
I got round the algorithm.
That's one of the reasons to keep them, because it's quite interesting to go back and see what was that first message. What was that first opener? You know, what did you say? Was it terribly cringe? And did somehow you manage to get over that to go on to a relationship? Or was it just a bit, you know, sweet? And you can totally see why they carried on the conversation.
Yeah. So I'm feeling reassured. It's not as much of an overreaction as I thought. So that's good. And on that note, we will start wrapping up. So if people want to try out Elate, they find it exclusively on iOS devices at the moment, so iPhones, iPads.
For now, yeah, we're only on iPhones at the moment, but we are working on Android, and you can actually sign up to our Android waiting list on our site, as well as sign up to the wait list for the city that you live in. And the site is elatedate.com, so elatedate.com, and that's the same for all our socials as well, elatedate, so Instagram, Twitter.
Brilliant. And I love that you knew to spell it, because that is very podcasting. When I do ads, I have to spell them out. And with the dyslexia, it's not always successful. It turns out I can write something down correctly, but actually getting me to say the letters doesn't always work.
I have said that URL so many times, and every time I will still go, did I just spell that correctly?
Such a speed up. Well, thank you again. It's been great chatting.
Thanks for having me. It's great.
Thanks for listening.
You can support the show, get ad-free episodes and bonus content by joining our new subscription on Apple Podcasts.
This replaces our Patreon and it's slightly cheaper.
Our show is edited and produced by Pete Murta,
with music by the brilliant Tessa Violet.
Speak to you next Friday. Until then, good luck out there.